RJN. KN4, RJN. This is W4DF, Whiskey 4, Delta Fox.com.
This is KN4, RJN.
Well, hey, my friend, John. Hope you're doing okay. Sorry I didn't get a chance to talk with you when I was trying to hook up with Walt. But I was looking for him for a while, a few days, and managed to get in contact with him. And just want to check and see how you're doing.
Your audio is a little long, a little low. Give me your call again.
Whiskey 4, Delta Foxtrot, W4DF. I think I was too far away from the iPad. Hope you can hear me, John.
W4DF, KN4RJN. Yeah, Don, I can hear you. I dropped my mic there for a minute and I had to readjust the radio here for a second. But, yeah, I can hear you. How you doing?
I'm doing fair, John, I guess, when you weigh everything in order. Question for you, what kind of radio are you using? You always have such robust audio. You have great audio, and I just wonder what you're running there, and do you have an outside antenna?
This is a Wuxun, W-O-U-X-U-N, some kind of Chinese something or other. I have to put my glasses on and give you the model number. It's a KG-UV-920-E-A, and it's a little mobile radio that I'm using for my base station, and I've got a mag mount hanging upside down from a ceiling fan, so no, I don't have an outside antenna either.
Always very strong. You're very strong. Of course, you got some elevation on me. You're up there on top of the hill. And always sound good. How much power is it? You say it's a Wuxun or whatever. Is it a walk unit?
It pumps about 50 watts, something like that.
They're always strong. The first rig I got back on with, just listening a couple of years ago, was one of those Wuxun KV something. It's one of those handheld. I've still got it around here somewhere. But I purchased a Baofeng, whatever kind of thing it is, one of those 8-watt units, and I'm trying to get it set up, but got an outside antenna up on the chimney, a dual bander that my son came and installed for me, but I'm tired of these walkie-talkies. I'm going to get me something... Get me something a little bit stronger. Get me a base station, a power supply. By the way, my voltage here, my power on the, I guess the battery you'd call it, on the iPad is getting kind of low. So when it gets below 10%, it might just drop out, John.
I bought this as actually a package, the radio and the power supply together. I'm trying to find the website where I bought that. It was a fairly reasonable price. Standby. This is KN4RJN. Don, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go right ahead.
The website is buy2wayradios.com. All one word. Two is spelled out. And it's their, it's called a ham radio starter kit. It comes with the radio and the base station and the mag mount antenna. And at the time I bought it, it was about $345 total, which I thought was a fairly decent deal. You might want to look at that. But yeah, my antenna is hanging upside down from the ceiling fan down here in the basement, so it helps being up on a hill.
If that antenna is hanging upside down, would that make you upper sideband or lower sideband?
Well, I don't know. I guess if it's hanging upside down, I must be lower sideband.
Well, careful. When you're you're running a like a rig like that in your house, and your house, I've done it many times. When you get over 25, 30 watts, it gets a little bit dangerous. So just keep yourself separated from the antenna out of the main RF load there, and you'll be okay. Of course, I think I waited too late to do it.
Well, it's a little ways from me. I don't think it's burning me yet.
What's up, John? Listen, Ben won't get in contact with you. I heard a conversation a couple weeks ago talking about telescopes, and that's one of my hobbies here. And I believe you said you had you might have had one out in the garage yourself.
There are four of them out in the garage right now, but it's either been hot, cloudy, rainy, or just, you know, not good viewing for long enough to get any of them out and set them up.
I lost all my energy these days with the situation I live with. And that's not my wife I'm talking about. I won't be living much longer, but some of the health conditions. But I've never owned a large telescope until recently. It's large. It's a 5.5-inch that I bought. And, you know, John, I was never able to even get it working, get it set up and outside. So several weeks ago, months ago or some time ago, I just called the kids from across the street. The three little boys came over, and I just presented it with that telescope. It's a Celestron. Let's see, 5.5-inch reflector. So I told them they'd have to get it collimated because I didn't know how to do that. Apparently, it got shifted. The lens had got shifted around a little bit in transit, and when you look down the hole, you don't see nothing. So I gave that to them and told them to find a local school teacher or someone that could collimate, whatever you call it, and get those lens and mirrors set up. But I've enjoyed astronomy over the years, John. 1986, and of course, Hale Bopp in 1997. I took one of the, it was appeared to be over hanging over the Holston Creek Baptist Church, so I was able to get a photograph of it with just a regular 35mm SL. But one of these days, you can tell me what you see with those big scopes. I've never had that opportunity.
I'll have to get you over here sometime. I've got a 10-inch dob and a 12-inch dob and a little 8-inch Cassegrangian. And there's another one out there. I can't remember now. But I'm either going to have to get you over there or load them up in the car and come over there and set them up in your driveway and let the kids across the street see Saturn's rings and Jupiter's bands and a few other things.
Well, you've got some good equipment there, John. And I'm familiar with the Dobsonians and the others. What I started out with back in 68, I guess it was, I wasn't even married at the time, but I bought a 60mm, which is turned out to be about 2.5 inches refractor. And it was a Tasco made in Japan. It was a great scope, and I used it for many, many years. And just barely able to see the rings of Saturn, barely able. And just barely able to see the clouds on Jupiter, but I could discern those four largest moons around Jupiter. So I spent many, many hours outside, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, looking at the stars.
When we lived in Anderson, we lived on a little cul-de-sac. We only had about four houses on it, and we all knew each other and would gravitate from house to house, party and watch the kids and all that kind of stuff. And I used to have star parties out in the driveway and set up the scopes and everybody come over and we'd watch the stars and drink beer and watch the kids play and do all that kind of stuff. I kind of miss that. We have had a couple star parties here with some of my wife's co-workers and friends came over. I set up every scope I had and and we watched stars for a while. It was kind of neat, but haven't been able to do that here lately.
Were you connected with the Roper Mountain Astronomy Club over there in Greenville?
Yeah, I hadn't been affiliated with those guys, but I need to find me an astronomy club around here somewhere and try and get back into it. It's since I retired, she retired, my to-do list has gotten much longer, so a lot of things I used to do when I was working I don't do anymore.
I'm all in favor of getting the young folks interested in just about any area of science. When I was at Roper Mountain, working there in Roper Mountain in 1989, 1990, somewhere, they had installed a 24-inch that had been donated to the Science Center. The Navy had kept it in storage for many years. It's a famous telescope, by the way. But the Science Center got it, I guess you'd say, and brought some experts in to build the dome and update it from an old mechanical type rotation device to a computerized one. The original one used weights. I don't know if you've seen some of the old scopes, but it's a fantastic place. On Friday nights, they have like a public night. It's not open to the public all week. It's only certain days. And the telescope is available on that, I think, on Friday nights. But I had hoped to, when I retired, provide a public scope for everybody just to come and look when possible. But my health went south on me, and I just haven't been able to do that. But I keep hoping that someday find a place. Of course, there's not much around here. Not many good places because of the light pollution. But if I ever get where I can walk more than two steps, I'm certainly going to try to put that thing in place for the young people.
If we ever get a clear night again here with two hurricanes in the Atlantic heading our way, we're probably not going to get clear nights anytime soon. But if we ever get a clear night together, we're going to have to get together and break out the scopes and see what we can see.
Well, the stories that have been told here on the repeater late at night, I was pretty active back in the late 60s, mid 60s, when this UFO craze broke out. Never saw one myself, I thought, but that was when the whole world, even Inman and Greer and Duncan and Welford, those folks were out looking and seeing, claiming to see UFOs. And here's the story now. It's never been told public, but I'm going to tell it to you. Of course, I know no one else is listening, but let you maybe make a diagnosis of what happened. I had just taken a job with WSPA-TV in Spartanburg. I lived in Greer, and I worked the second shift. I'd drive over to Spartanburg and work and get off and come home. But the previous afternoon, I would set my telescope out on the porch so the lens could come down to the ambient temperature. Go to work, come home at 11:30, 12, eat a sandwich, go outside with a telescope and scan the heavens. Well, I hope my battery don't die. If it does, I'll finish it later. But I was outside one night, and I saw a light in the distance. It appeared to be some kind of a light. So I watched it, and after a while, it looked like it was getting closer and closer, coming my direction. So turn the telescope on it. Looked like two lights instead of one. Well, as I watched it, all of a sudden, the two lights separated. One went north, one went the other way. Well, at that very moment, now this is strange, that very moment I was encompassed, standing up in the yard by some kind of force field. Now, it resembled some type of a cloud or fog, but it engulfed me, and I could not move. I could not speak. I was horrified. I was cold. I didn't know what in the world was going on. Maybe it wasn't all this world, but anyway, quick it had, just as quick as it had circled me up there, and just whatever it was, fog, dense, mist, whatever, it disappeared. Everything was back normal, and to this day, I've never determined what happened. W4 Delta Foxtrot. Good to talk with you. One more follow-up. This thing bothered me since 1970. It happened in the early part of 1970. It bothered me for many years. I never talked to anyone about it, not even my wife, my children, or no one. But many years later, I decided to try to get some kind of explanation. I went in counseling, and I was told that it appeared to be some type of demonic attack. Now, that sounds weird and crazy for a lot of people to believe, but the evil one is out to deceive you. He's father of all lies. There's no truth in him. I believe that's what this whole UFO thing is about. They may exist, but they're not alien. I think they're from the demonic world. And I truly believe that, and I will end the conversation on that, John. You have a good one. KN4RJN, Whiskey 4 Delta Foxtrot.
7-3 is done. KN4RJN, clear.